Okay. Can you tell them what I'm doing?
Blog Talk Radio.
Not necessarily that. It's all about feeling good in your mind and in your heart and where you're at. It's not about the waist size. It's not about the scale number. It's about where you feel right inside.
Yeah, you've had ups and downs, but you've stuck with it, and you know you never gave up, and that's what I just find so inspiring.
You say that I can be an inspiration. I think that, you know, one of the themes that we've been picking up tonight is, you know, what Team YRG can do for yourself and for others, and it's all about paying it forward. If I can help anybody, if I can help one person, if one person looked at what I did, okay. That is something that motivates them to do something, that motivates somebody else to do something. Oh, good God, man, I can't explain how good that makes me feel.
It was just a complete moment of triumph, because at that particular time I went farther than my original goal, and I was still feeling amazing. And
you
the whole shot is emblematic of what you can do if you don't let your doubt mess you up.
Sparky, this is Mark Merrow. No, brother, you are really, and you guys are so inspirational. You know, Team YRG, everybody that is part of Team YRG has been so inspirational. Everybody, we all have a story. You know, God has a purpose for all our lives, and we use that. You know, it's like God has taken our mess and it's turned into our message. We take this message that we have, that we've taken control of our life. And you just said it, Sparky. It's taking control of your life. It's making that decision to take control of your life. And when you do, you actually put yourself in a place where you can inspire and help so many people.
If things weren't already interesting enough, I had a friend of mine call in. Ray Lloyd is actually on the line.
Oh, my gosh. You're kidding me. Sugar Ray.
Brother Mark, what's up? And I just remember him saying, he said, there's not a lot of people in this world who are known as much for their failures as they are their successes. He said, I've missed a lot of jumps. And he said, but you know what? I kept getting back up. And that's become like my new theme is keep getting back up. Because we all get knocked down. We all do. And you just keep getting back up.
It's me, DDP, Diamond Dallas Page, and welcome to the YRG Radio Roundtable.
It's Thursday, June 23rd. This is YRG Radio with Robert, Stacy Morris, and me, Sparky. This is the best damn internet radio show on the planet. What's up, guys?
Hey, Spark. Robert.
How are you?
Hey, Stacy.
You made it.
I made it. I'm in an Italian restaurant right now, speaking of food, but I'm doing the show from a place called Antonio's.
Nice.
Antonio's.
Yeah.
Hey, any place with an Italian dude's first name on it that serves Italian has to be delicious.
It is. Oh, boy.
That's pretty cool. So we've had a pretty slow week here at Team YRG. We've got two new members, and we're still going to give you guys your shout-outs. So Nikki Hamilton and Robert Russell, hey, what's going on? I hope you two are enjoying what's going on this week and enjoying Team YRG and getting the support you need and finding everything that you want. If you're not, just make a post, make a blog, and let us know. Ask a question, or if you're listening right now, give us a call. So for anybody listening, 347-994-1216, the number is, I'll get it out there really early. So, and I guess I can welcome back Don Stanley, who hasn't been new, but he's been away for a little bit, came back, and he's pretty excited to be back and be here. So welcome back, buddy. Good to have you back, and good to have you blogging and posting again. So as far as Vata Boys, I don't know that we have too much stuff going on. I mean, Don can serve as a data boy. We've got Steven out there who's trying to get people to take everyday life moves or activities and try to YRG them. So Steve's staying involved in trying to get people active and interested. So keep it up, buddy. We like to see that. We like to see everybody interested and promoting the YRG lifestyle, man, getting people healthy. Somebody mentioned me in Twitter and replied back to me, if anybody is on Twitter, I'm a YRG regular guy. And they just got on Team YRG and they love it. And I think, and I'm sorry, I'm going to call him Decapitator. I don't have the full name. They're like, I see fit people. Pretty funny. I was dying at that. I love that. I'm going to use that all over the place. So, anyway, I see tonight a lot of good talk with you, Stacy, because you are the diva of YRG, but also the diva of food, glorious food.
Of food, I know. Finally
made
peace.
And I am a foodie. I'm trying to make peace again with it this week. Man, if you've seen some of the stuff that's been going on this week.
Did you have a lover's quarrel with it this week?
Kind of yes and no. You know, it was kind of one of those things where it's like, it wasn't like a couple weeks ago where I was like chowing on some pizza and stuff, but, you know, it might have been some leftover, you know, extra calories just kind of sitting on me from that, kind of sitting around being a little bit lazy. But Brett, Kevin and I were talking. We both kind of realized we got to a place where maybe we got a little soft, got a little comfortable, and found out that, you know, maybe I was grabbing up. Now I'm eating, you know, cashews and natural almonds, but maybe instead of, like, the serving I should have, which is about 6 of each, you know, 12 total, maybe a quarter cup, I mean, I'm just reaching in that bag 3 or 4 times. So,
yeah.
You know, the control is not there sometimes.
Yeah.
And I forget to ask myself what I really want. So we decided to reboot, and amazing. You know, I haven't been 100% gluten-free probably for a month now. I did it for my first 3 months when I blasted out my good weight. And I've probably been about 95% gluten-free. And, you know, that's tough. Some people really, really latch on to 100%. 95% for me has been working well. But I decided if I really wanted to blast through this, I had to go 100% gluten-free and dairy-free. And both Rep Kevin and I did that. And, you know, we're following some really good food. And I hope to hear some more about the really great stuff you're doing with Lotus Love and all the delicious food that you've been making, because 100% gluten-free and dairy-free in almost 5 days, I'm 6 pounds down, and Rev Camp blasted 15 pounds off. So there is something to be said about following this nutrition plan, not a diet, people. You know how Dallas feels about diet, and I'm not going to call it a diet because this is a lifestyle. This is a nutrition plan. It's not something that you're going to pick up for 10 days, throw it away, and think that you're going to stay the way you look after that. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, wouldn't you agree?
Oh, God, yes. That's the only thing. You know, I have to admit, when I joined YRG before what's currently out there was available, so I didn't get the booklet. I didn't get, you know, any of those guidelines. And in a way, I'm kind of glad because I did not need to look at that point at literature, because I think it would have scared me and made me feel like I was starting a diet, even though it's really not presented that way. But that's just I've got like 30 years of, you know, hardcore binge eating and yo-yo dieting. That's all I knew.
Mm-hmm.
So I just needed a complete break from that. And what I did was I started just by simply eliminating my most damaging binge foods, which really, if I had to get honest with myself and realize that they were not even bringing me, I mean, any nutrition. It was just junk food, processed. And what they were doing was drugging me, and there was a time in my life when I needed that and I wanted that, but then I started waking up, and I said, okay, I can, and I'm ready to cut out the binge foods.
How much of that for you? Because I know for me, different places, different journeys, but I know we all have some sort of comfort linked to food. How much of that wasn't about necessarily taste or eating, but, you know, some taste, but just comfort? Because if I'm sticking, like, a piece of pizza in my body, I'm like, this is fantastic. And all of a sudden, you kind of get numb, and you're just, you find yourself like a half a pizza later, and you realize, wow, I didn't do anything. Except that
well,
down my waist.
I know. Yeah, well, for me, and I think it's absolutely, I don't want people to start to think, well, I shouldn't be getting comfort from food, because I think that is totally normal, and I get comfort from food every day, you know, but I don't drug myself with it like I used to. So, I think food should be comforting, and it should be pleasurable. There also, ideally, should be elements of nutrition in there, too. But I just totally crossed the line and never looked back. I was just eating for pleasure only, for the taste and for the texture. And I chose foods that were going to sedate me, like high fat, high salt, just stuff that was going to, like, literally knock me out. And that's what I wanted.
How often were you turning to food when you were kind of in that spot where you're like, this is what I need, this is kind of, and when you say the drug, I believe that, because there's a certain point where I know I find myself, you know, when I was doing it, that I was like, this is what's going to make me feel better, and you kind of get lost in it trying to feel better. How often do you find yourself doing that?
I didn't eat meals. I just ate till I couldn't eat anymore, and I would take a break because I was stuffed, and then as soon as I had a little capacity back, I would start back in. And I realized it, you know, wasn't really about, you know, definitely wasn't eating out of hunger, but I was eating when I would have uncomfortable feelings, and I was so out of touch with them that I wouldn't even, the feelings wouldn't make it to my brain. What made it to my brain was, oh, I want, you know, a submarine, or I want some mayonnaise and tuna fish, or I want some potato chips. Yeah, that's what made it to my brain, not the feeling, because I got so good at burying it all.
Yeah, there's
so
I think there's a definite connection there with that, and just wanting something, and just, you know, your brain just goes off. There's a point, and kind of inspired by your video and Rev Kev's video, and I'm making one that's eventually going to come out probably, hopefully before the retreat, but there's some video I captured in there. I have a bag of Doritos, and I remember there's a point, like, you know, where I would take a bag of Doritos, I would eat the first one, and I wouldn't stop until my hand hit the bottom of the bag.
Isn't that the worst feeling, when the bottom of the bag
is,
and you want to keep going?
It is. And in the video, this is one of the best and worst pieces of footage I have. Somebody's looking at me. I take the bag and I tip it up like I was emptying out like a can of beer or something. I'm holding it up
that.
To my mouth, shaking it out. Yeah, I let Robert take a little preview of it, and then I give a big thumbs up afterwards.
You're pretty proud of that moment, yeah. And looking back, I bet you have completely different feelings about it.
Absolutely. I can't tell you the last time I touched a cheesy, greasy Dorito, and wanted to actually put it in my body. Like you were saying, Stacy, you know, food can be nutritious and still give you comfort. Like this morning, one of the things that I love to have is a shake now. I have a shake, and I actually put frozen spinach, almond milk, and some blueberries in there. That's delicious to me. I love it because I used to love milkshakes.
Yeah.
And it's just like you just posted a recipe which was very similar to that.
Yep. Milkshake, I mean, protein drinks. To me, I call them milkshakes because that's what they taste like. But they are the light of my life because I've lost along the way, like, my taste and my need for eating meat all the time like I used to. And once you start giving your body clean stuff, it wants more. And this is what it wants. I have at least two a day. I usually have eggs. I have nuts. I have lentils. And occasionally I will eat, you know, beef if it's good, if it's good quality, or chicken. But it's rare now. And it's simply because I'm listening to my body and I'm in tune with what it wants, you know. And that's never happened. I never got to that stage when I dieted. That's because I'm not dieting now. I'm listening to my body.
and it gets so natural at some point, you start to crave the healthy stuff. It's like, and it helps change your attitude. And I got something pretty awesome. We have a caller, you know, in 14 minutes into the show, which is fantastic. Richard.
Hey, hi, y'all.
Hey, which Richard do we have? Because we got like five of them. Hey, what's up, buddy?
Not too much. How y'all doing?
Hey, not too bad. This is the first time I've gotten to talk to you.
Which Richard is this? I missed it. Which Richard?
Richard Wilson.
Wilson from Virginia.
Nice. We wouldn't have been nearly as nice if it was the other Richard.
Richard. So, Richard, we're doing great. How are you?
Doing pretty well. I got the email and I saw the post about the subject tonight and the fact that Stacey was going to be extemporizing on her journey, and I just said, there's no way I'm going to miss this one. I'm going to force myself to stay awake and catch this one. So I'll be interjecting some questions. One that came to mind as I was listening, you mentioned the journey, how you used to just eat because you had space, and now you eat because you're actually listening to what's going on. At what point, if you can pinpoint, or if you can just sort of give us an idea of how the spectrum went, where it went, where it became natural for you to start listening to your body? So if you can just give us an overview on that.
That took a little time. I'm going to move into another room here. When it became, okay, I remember hearing, I'm a writer, and I interviewed a chef one time who dropped like over 100 pounds, and he did not diet, but he listened to his body, and he said the secret is always stop eating when you could still eat a little more. And I thought, well, I know that probably works, but I will never get to that point, man. I'm incapable. And now looking back, I know why I was incapable, because I had a lot of heavy, no pun intended, but I had some heavy stuff in my personal life that I was not looking at and not dealing with. And right around the time that Dallas came into my life, I got in a place where I was ready to deal with it, and life wouldn't let me ignore it any longer. I dealt with it, and once I did that, I was really astonished at how much easier it was to stop, you know, when I could have kept going. Because I kept going to drug myself because I was tormented, you know, and I was uncomfortable emotionally. Still, even with taking that pressure off myself and clearing away certain dynamics out of my life, overeating had become a habit also, and my body was used to it. So I just had to, I was very objective. I you have to be so careful with how you speak to yourself, even if you don't actually say any formal words. You know, your thoughts go right into your core, and I was very loving and patient and just matter of fact, and like, okay, you know, I think we definitely could keep eating, but let's stop, because, you know, I know I've had enough nutrition, and I actually feel pretty okay. I'm not hungry anymore. And it was just like a learning process, like teaching a little baby how to walk is how I did it. So what I'm trying to emphasize is it's a process. You're going to fall down. You're going to make mistakes, and that's okay. That's all part of it. I never expected perfection out of myself, and that's what allowed me to continue long term.
Okay, great. When you're looking long term at that, how long did it take you to get comfortable that you knew it was going to be a long term journey? Because I know a lot of people just jump in and, using the D word, they think, hey, diet, I'm going to get, like I mentioned earlier, it was, you know, in 10 days, 15 days, I'm going to lose a couple pounds, and then they kind of yo-yo back and forth. I know it took me a solid while to build a habit of eating healthy by stringing 20 or 30 days together. But, you know, how did you find yourself getting there?
I had to let go of certain dieting mentality things that I used to, games that I used to play with myself, like saying never again, you know, with foods that I love. I did agree to give up the binge foods, but there are other foods that I love that are not, you know, they're not health food, I eat them for fun, and it's okay to eat for fun every now and then. But if I said to myself, never again can you have fried chicken, I knew what was going to happen. And I'm like, okay, I'm not going to play that game. Once I started to drop weight and I needed to buy new clothing, I used to love to sometimes, if I was out and I saw something I really caught my eye and mm-hmm. it was too small, and I would buy it because something in me knew I was going to keep going. However, and I knew I would get into that piece of clothing, and I always did. But one thing I never did, which I used to do, was I never gave myself a timetable. Like, you must fit into this blouse within 2 months or whatever. I never played that game because it all went along with this new admiration and respect that I have for the intelligence of my body. My body knows what it's doing. I don't have to boss it around and tell it that it must be, you know, X number of pounds lighter by this date on the calendar, because that is just, that doesn't work. And I really want to get that across. Don't play those games with yourself, because it's really disrespectful to the intelligence of your body, and it puts unnecessary pressure on yourself. And the last thing I needed when I was trying to make a permanent transition was to put unnecessary pressure on myself. I was, especially in the beginning, I was withdrawing literally like a heroin addict. I was drying out from all the substances that I still kind of wanted and still missed a little bit. So, you know, I just needed to, like, take off the pressure and not play the games. It sounds so cliche, man, but I was in it to win it this time. I didn't care when it happened, just that it happened.
And you're crushing it. And I think that's a good point, because when you bring it up, it's goal setting. That's goal setting, what you did with the dress. And what's better for you? Goal setting by looking at the number on the scale all the time, or buying that one outfit, and then when you finally get into it and you can wear it and it's lasting and sustaining, does it really matter what the number on the scale says?
No. Or how fast I got there. You know,
right.
I just refuse to rush it. And you know what? When I get out of the way and I just, you know, did my thing and I held up my end of the bargain, everything works so much better. Because I don't know, I didn't design my body. Some other greater intelligence did. So why should I presume to be that in charge of its capabilities? I'm not. I can only do so much, and I finally got humble enough to realize that.
Stacey, you went, if I remember correctly, you went through a lot of diets. You lost a lot of weight a lot of times, and you always yo-yoed. When you started doing the YRG stuff, we all know it's not a diet, it's a lifestyle change, but there's a lot of similar mentalities there. Was it hard to get over that mentally? You know, not saying I'm starting another diet, it's going to be another yo-yo. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, it wasn't hard, because I didn't look at it as a diet. I kind of started negotiating with myself. Like, what am I willing to change? What am I not willing to change? Because I knew there were some things I wasn't going to change. You know, I've been down that road so many times, and I finally had to say, okay, you know, like, I'm not going to give up certain foods forever, and nobody should have to. So as long as I gave myself a little respect and a little dignity to have that leeway when I wanted it, I had to really be aware of why. Like, when I have fried chicken, I make sure, like, I wanted it last night, and I'm in a city now where I have much more access to fried chicken joints, so it would have been really easy for me to do it. But I knew that I was wanting it for not the right reason. I was feeling kind of like down in the dumps, and I was kind of blue, and it was raining, and I was kind of physically cold, and I was ravenous after a long workout. But the thing is, I already had a whole bunch of healthy, clean food, like, literally waiting for me at home. So I was out of excuses, and I knew it was just going to be like an escape. It felt yesterday like it would have been an escape, and not like just a conscious, pleasurable experience. So I said, you know what? Not this time. There'll be another time, but not tonight.
Nice.
That's pretty cool. Okay, when, I was going to say, one of the things that you're talking about is finding replacements. And one thing that was easy for me was coming to Team YRG and having a resource like you there. But how long did it take you to sort of find replacements? Because, you know, for me, one of the things, and I say it all the time, and I always say pizza was one of my biggest things. And before I started searching and people said there's actually gluten-free, you know, pizza doughs, you know, you can get sauces, you can get toppings, I had absolutely no clue. You know, Team YRG helped me get there a little bit quicker, but like you said, when you first started, there wasn't a guide. There might not have been, you know, as many people as knowledgeable on Team YRG. So how long did it take you, and what can other people do to sort of, you know, fall in line with the same type of plan and gain that knowledge that you have?
Well, you know, what I did was I looked to people who have gone before me. Terry Lang was and still is my role model and mentor. And Dallas, I mean, he's a food lover. And, you know, I got ideas from him. He would give me, you know, here, try salad this way. Or, you know, try these. He turned me on to raw nuts and things like that. And Angela, you know, Angela Cole, she's got a great website, My Picky Eaters. I just started looking at blogs. And I like to cook. I'm lucky. I love it. And I started to come up with things that actually taste good. And some of them are replacements and some of them are just new discoveries. But the thing about replacing is that I had to kind of come to terms with there are going to be replacements out there that work and others that don't work so much but just carry me through in a pinch. And I guess it just depends on the food group that you're attached to. You know, like I luckily, there's Namaste pizza crust mix on the market. I just could not believe how good it was. I mean, I thought it was going to be sort of like so-so. It blew everybody's mind that I made it for, and it was a really good pizza. And that, to me, it's like, I'll take this over the regular any day.
Yeah.
Now, sometimes when I don't do this anymore because I think I've just built up enough, I don't know, like mental and emotional strength. But one of my binge foods was potato chips with clam dip, and the clam dip was made with a brick of Philly cream cheese and a can of minced clams. I mean,
wow.
It was totally lethal, and that's what I lived on. And in the beginning, though, when I was having a bad day, I needed that, but I didn't want to go back to the real thing because of all the triggers. So I set up a substitute, and what it was with the little round rice crackers were my – and I could have had potato chips, but it was too close to the bone. It was a binge food. So I did rice crackers, and I did tofu cream cheese and then a can of minced clams. The tofu cream cheese, really, I mean, there's no flavor. The texture is pathetic. And and I knew it. And so what I did was I had to put, like, you know, like a quarter of a cup of salt in the dip just to give it, you know, any flavor. But I knew I was doing it because I needed a crutch, and I allowed that, and I didn't judge myself. And I also didn't try to fool myself because I see a lot of these, you know, healthy chefs and cookbook authors, and they say stuff like, you know, you can have fettuccine Alfredo and make it with fat-free half and half, and it's going to taste just the same. And that is such a load, you know. I mean, anyone who's ever had fat-free half and half knows that that's not true. Fettuccine Alfredo is all about fat, and so is clam dip. But it worked in a pinch, you know, and I didn't delude myself that, oh, this is just as good, you know. But it got me over the hump. And guess what? It didn't decimate me physically. I didn't gain weight. I didn't set up those cravings. I didn't feel drugged. And I was able to do that and just, you know, say, okay, this isn't as good. But guess what? There was also, because it wasn't as good, it wasn't destroying me, there was a major trade-off. You know, I'm down 180 pounds. I'm down 12 sizes. Right now I probably sound like Richard Lewis because I have so much energy, you know. But, I mean, that's the trade-off.
Not nearly as neurotic, though.
But I just thought, and I hear people when they ask me, I never go up to anybody and preach. If they want to come to me and ask me stuff, I'm an open book. But I get the thing that I get most commonly is, oh my God, I can't give up cheese or I can't give up that, and that's fine. But just understand, you're going to stay the way you are. if you keep doing what you're doing, you know. And I knew that if I kept doing the clam dip the way I was doing it, I was never going to get out of the 300s. I was, you know, all those years I was 300 pounds plus. I went to a gym. I exercised. It was what I was putting in my body that kept me in that prison.
That had to have been incredibly frustrating.
It gets super frustrating.
Well, it was. I was just kind of trying to keep my health at bay. I just figured, if, you know, shit, I can't lose weight, but at least I can go work out and I can strengthen my heart. And, you know, I'm not quite as fat as I probably would be if I were doing nothing. So, but the minute I changed what I was putting in my body and I took dairy out and I took gluten out, man, it was like I was shot out of a cannon.
Yeah, I think the dairy and the gluten is a great find. And even though it's some parts of my journey, I haven't followed it 100%. The 95% is good. I don't think you can not follow it. When you talk about the gym and doing things like that, I have a treadmill that I do use now. I have a hundreds of dollar piece of Smith machine downstairs, free weights downstairs. When I lived in Baltimore, Maryland, and had my first peak at 222, I joined a gym. I went to a gym every day, and I pushed weights around, and I kind of walked around. And then I'd go to Don Pablo's at night, and I'd have a couple of shots of tequila and some chips and some salsa. You know, I look back at it now, man, what was really doing it to me?
Yeah.
The assumption is, when you see somebody that's overweight, you think that they're just sitting on the couch, they're not doing anything, but you guys were putting the effort in, and you just weren't getting anywhere with it.
Right. And it, I mean, it was the food.
It's definitely the food. And the thing is then you start to get in that gym and you start to do things and you start to work against yourself. And I can see where people go in, and those New Year's resolutionists, I'm going to go in, I'm going to bang this out. And, you know, when I did this in Baltimore, I joined the gym across, and I used to live in Owings Mills. I went to Newtown and I got in the gym, and I'm in there January. Great. February, okay, March, a couple times a week, you know, and you just slow down and you stop, and you just don't realize what's happening. I'm killing myself here, and you don't have to. You don't have to. And the funny thing is I bet you if you took any of those guys that are going to the gym and have some mild success, and you showed them, you know, what you might do for 20 minutes a day, doing some zero impact fitness with YRG, and just say, hey, change your diet up like this. Try a little gluten-free, dairy-free. Eat a couple times a day. Try this. Do it for a month. They might laugh at you, but you've got the results. You know? It's amazing.
Yeah, and I made the majority of the changes. I do go to a gym now just because I love weightlifting. I just love it. But when I first started, like for the first 9 months, I was just doing YRG, and my body started changing just in unbelievable ways. Just, you know, all the core strength, my posture changed, I walked differently, and that was without any equipment, you know, just the DVD and the floor. That was it.
What's your new passion, though? I saw a little clip of you now. You love the weights, but you're going to be pretty dangerous with those hands, right?
Oh, yeah, I started boxing. Yeah, I wanted it documented just how bad I am on the speed bag. Because my goal is by the end of the summer, I want it to be a blur, you know. So right now I'm just kind of tapping at it, you know. But that's just something, you know, back in the 80s, I joined that famous boxing gym in Brooklyn, where Hilary Swank trained, you know, for her movie. And I joined, and I got a little tour, and then I never went back. And I just wasn't ready mentally. But now I'm ready. I'm ready to really push myself in terms of, you know, working harder and maybe confronting some bottled up emotions. And just I'm willing. And the guy who owns this gym, man, he can see right through people. So this is almost going to be like intensive therapy, too. So I'm really looking forward to it. But I wanted to say, you know, Sparky, you said that you're like, whatever, 80, 90% gluten-free, and so am I. Tonight at this Italian place, I had eggplant parm. And so that means I had breading on the eggplant, and I had mozzarella. And I do that occasionally. I'm at a place where the food is really good. It's not a chain. The guy makes it with care. And it came with a side of angel hair, which I gave to my friend. And because I can handle little bits of, like, breading. That doesn't bother me. But if I were to sit down to a regular bowl of pasta, I think I would feel some effects. And I just, you know, it wasn't worth it. But I totally enjoyed every bite. I mean, I so seldom eat cheese, and this was really good stuff. And I allow myself that. So I don't want people to think that I'm, you know, super rigid. I'm not at all.
And I think that's a good point, too, because when you're talking about doing this, people still want to enjoy going out because once you start to limit yourself, I mean, that can really limit your social life, too. I know I do like to go out, and on occasion I do like one of my favorite salads is a buffalo chicken salad, and sometimes the chicken comes with a little breading on it. And I'll take that in. And some people even just look at that and be like, that's a buffalo chicken salad. That's the word, you know. You're eating salad, buddy, in it. But I enjoy that. I won't say a delicacy for me, but it's a treat for me. Have that, you know. And that's why when I say I'm 95% or so, that it's because of things like that. But you know, eating out at a restaurant can be really challenging for people. You know, and I know I try to limit myself when I go to places. The biggest thing that I do is actually avoid places that I know are going to have, like, Mexican restaurants, everything, you know, you got the chips and the salsa. I just can't even walk in there. I can't even go into one. You know, what are some of the things that you might be able to suggest to people that you've done, other than just avoidance, that they could look at, maybe sit down at a menu and say, you know, if I'm on this gluten-free, dairy-free journey, and I, you know, I'm trying out YRG and I just got here, I still want to enjoy myself. What can they do when they go?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, a lot of restaurants, because food allergies are so prevalent, we'll have gluten-free options. The really more advanced, bigger places and cities will have gluten-free bread and pasta. That is, it's still pretty rare. But you can always usually find rice on a menu, potatoes, or corn. And any restaurant I've ever been to, and I live in upstate New York, it's not a big metropolitan area, but if I say, you know, please don't give me any bread or pasta, would you give me some vegetables instead? They always do it.
Mm-hmm.
So you can amend the menu, and if you say you have a food allergy, they usually bend over backwards because they don't want an incident, you know? They don't want it on record that somebody's breaking out or, you know, whatever, having a reaction at their spot. So just be proactive. Say you have a food allergy, if that makes you feel comfortable, if you feel like you're going to get more results from the restaurant, and ask, even if you don't see it on the menu. Usually they can pull a few tricks out of their hat.
And I know Dallas had mentioned this, and this was like shows ago. You know, some things you can do is really take power over it. If you're going to take power over your life and own your life, you know, you're paying for that service. I know he had said, he goes, and he's like, can you chop that up? I want my salad chopped up, because he likes the chopped salad, you know. And I know, you know, if you're ordering vegetables, like one time I walked into, you know, a chain, and I was like, I'll have some broccoli on the side. I had a piece of fish, which was cooked very nice, and the broccoli came out, and it's coated in butter. I was just like, you know, and I actually didn't want to eat it. And like, so, you know, you can ask, hey, can you give me some steamed broccoli or whatnot? And hopefully they can accommodate. And, you know, the cool thing is there's a place up here, and I want to call it Johnny Carina's, but I don't think that's the name of it. But, yeah, the gluten-free, they've actually got like a G on the menu and a little green leaf, and they have a couple of dishes that are gluten-free, so people should check that out. I was messing around on my iPhone today, and I just put gluten into the search term in my app store. There are a ton of apps that you can get, and a lot of them are for restaurants to tell you, you know, what coffee house is in your area, what, you know, delis, delicatessens, what sandwich shops, and even what major restaurants have gluten-free stuff. So if you're looking at that route, you can even check that out. I know they've got a lot of stuff. You can hit the internet and be gluten-free and get a huge list before you go out. But if you're on the go and have the iPhone, which Stacy and I now have iPhones, and I'm sure you've been messing with yours a lot. We got a lot of videos coming from you. I'm trying everything out. So.
Oh, I'm loving it. Yeah.
I'll tell you guys what. If I've been out to eat with Dallas a few times, he has no issue whatsoever telling them exactly what he wants.
Oh, I'll bet. And somebody was telling me, I forgot who, they were out with Dallas, and he asked the restaurant, they were at a Cracker Barrel, and they had no gluten-free option, so he got out his iPhone and went to their website and registered a complaint right there at the table. You know,
nice.
So, I mean,
yeah. That's
a way to be proactive.
Absolutely. Hopefully that wasn't on his Bluefield Health trip, because he was sitting in the Cracker Barrel for that one.
Oh, yeah, he was. That's right. That's where it started at.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, if you haven't checked that out, it's actually a really good series and led to a lot of DDP TV stuff, and it's on, you can see it, ddpbang.com. And, you know, one of the cool things I think that people are going to see with Dallas, and anybody listening, if you've thought about it, I know Robert's looking to go, and I'm going, is the YRG Retreat Extravaganza, which is happening in Cancun, Mexico, actually Riviera Maya at the El Dorado Royale. So if you look up Travel Smith on Team YRG, or you go to ddpbang.com, you can see a lot of the information on that. It's going to be a cool time, and we're going to have gluten-free food there. Actually, Dallas looked it up, so the whole time we're there, we're going to be able to follow our nutrition plans, which is going to be really cool. I'm actually really looking forward to that, because when I went to Aruba a couple months ago, I was making good choices, but I'm watching them make, like, my eggs in the morning. I always have to have my eggs in the morning. Now, I don't eat a dozen or ten like Dallas does. You know, I started a half dozen and worked my way down just because I'm worried about the cholesterol. I only got five in now. But I'm watching them make it, and they're slathered in butter, and I still came back, and I'm putting that stuff in my body. And then, you know, I added a few pounds, and I was even on the treadmill, you know, was the biggest part of my workout, maybe doing some free-form YRG for about an hour a day. It's tough to combat if you're not really paying attention to what you're eating. And I think that's even part of a testament that gluten-free, dairy-free eating is really a way to go.
Oh, definitely. Hey, I wanted to ask you, you and I are both egg lovers. How do you cook them at home, when you're home?
How do I cook them actually a ton of different ways. My breakfast, I take and I just crack them into the pan, scramble them in the eggshell with the other half of the eggshell, and have some scrambled eggs in the morning. And then I might put a little hot sauce on them, and I have some organic ketchup that I put on them, and I just plainly eat them like that. One of my favorite things to do, and a lot of people think it's gross, I love sunny side up eggs, because I call them dippy eggs. I love
to take
a turkey burger or organic hamburger patty, or, you know, some buffalo meat. And I love to take that, fry that up in a skillet, and then I'll take two sunny-side-up eggs, and I'll slap them right on top and just chow down on that. I think it's one of the best.
Oh, my God, I love it. Well, I also love soft yolks, and sometimes I'm just, you know, if I know I'm going to be eating heavier later in the day and I don't want as much fat, what I do is I will cook them, like poach them, in either chicken broth or vegetable broth, and they're wonderful that way, and it's a way to cut back on the fat, and it's just a little different. Or I will cook them in tomato sauce. I have that recipe on Team YRG. Mm. It's a Middle Eastern dish called shakshuka, and that is also a great dinner, and it's a way, you know, to just sort of cut back on the fat if you want. You don't have to use oil or butter, and they cook in the liquid. It's a really neat way to do eggs.
Yeah, there's two things on that. Shakshuka, is that spicy? Because I love me some spicy food.
Oh, you can make it spicy, or you can make it like a sweet marinara. It's however you want to do it.
And somebody mentioned oil. Actually, Jamie mentioned oil. When I was watching my calories and started writing things down, I used to use a lot of EVOO, extra virgin olive oil, out there. and realized I was only putting a tablespoon in. I'm like, how much of a tablespoon is this really gonna be? That's like 100. What is it? Is it 120 calories? And a tablespoon of EVRO.
Yeah, that sounds right.
And I was eating. I would put that in my pan, cook my eggs in the morning. I'd have a salad. I'd put a tablespoon or two on my salad with some vinegar in the afternoon. Then at dinner, I'd do the same thing. I'd cook with it. And I realized just cutting that out, cutting a couple tablespoons out a day, you're going to save yourself a couple hundred calories.
Yeah, and that's exactly why I do the eggs that way sometimes, because I don't need to have fat with the eggs. Like, that's okay every now and then.
Yep.
But I do need to have fat with my salad. Otherwise, it's horrible to me.
Oh, God.
So I save it up, and I make sure I have enough oil that it tastes good, you know? But at the same time, I'm not drenching it either, but it's a nice balance. And so that's what I save the oil and the fat for where it counts on the taste buds.
and still, extra virgin olive oil and stuff like that is pretty healthy.
Yes. You're talking
about cooking eggs, and don't ask me how to cook it because I don't know how to cook Indian food. But I went to a restaurant, and they had curried, it was like goat cheese balls and eggs all in the same dish. And oh my goodness, it was good.
That sounds awesome.
Sounds good.
Yeah, I went back for seconds on that one.
Yeah, and I'll hit it up, confirming the EVOO in a tablespoon is 120 calories. Guys out there, if you're listening, I've used this, Stacey. I don't know if you've seen it, or Robert or Richard. CalorieKing.com.
Mm-hmm.
You throw that up and throw any food into there, and it'll give you a list of brands, different serving portions, and tell you exact amounts of calories, fat, carbs, sodium, everything else that's in it. So if you're ever questioning yourself or you ever wanted to write down some things that you're eating, that's a good place to go and check it out.
Cool.
Yeah, anybody listening, if you've got a question for Stacey when we're talking about Food Glorious, 2347-994-1216, give us a buzz. We also have the chat room going, so if you have a question, fire it into there, and I can pass it on for you. So Jamie's talking a little bit now. People are talking about salads in there. Dawn's asking what people use on salads. Dawn Stanley, who we mentioned earlier. Dawn, what's up? So you mentioned you use a little extra virgin olive oil in your salad, Stacey. What else do you put with that, like lemon juice, anything, lemon juice and vinegar?
Yeah, I love balsamic vinegar. I just love it. I also use pecorino cheese to up the flavor, and that's like Parmesan, but it's made with sheep's milk, so I can stay cow dairy free. I also love herbs, you know, like I'll shower some oregano, a little dried basil, sometimes onions, anything, just because lettuce is bland. I mean, let's face it. I need something with a little color and just more flavor to make it exciting to me. Because I am a reformed, I used to hate salad, and I've learned to love them. But I have to make it creative. I used to always have to have like a cream dressing. I've kind of broken myself of that habit. Unless I'm out and I'm at a restaurant, like my cousin's restaurant, the Rye Field, where he makes, like, the best homemade blue cheese on the planet, and then I'll do it if it's worth it. But in general, it's extra virgin olive oil or sometimes a really good nut oil, because they have such good properties, you know, like the macadamia
like
nut oil.
Well,
macadamia and almond are really good, and avocado oil. They just have a lot of nutrition, and they're really not great for heating because they smoke easily. So they're perfect for salads. And as long as I have a good oil, some vinegar, and maybe a few herbs, I'm fine. And then it's a good experience. And I generally avoid iceberg lettuce. Because why? That's all we had growing up. Now we have so many choices, and it doesn't have to be that.
How many times on your journey or when you started your journey, if you were like me, where you're like, I got to eat a salad, you grab a head of iceberg lettuce, you chop it in half, you kind of shred it up a little bit, and you throw some oil on it, and you're like, you're eating it, and you're shoving it down, and now you realize, this is why people hate salads.
You know? And you know, I have talked to some Team YRG members who really, they're not fans of any kind of lettuce. And I just realized there's a way you can sort of skirt around that by making sort of like a Greek Mediterranean salad made of chopped cucumbers, chopped tomatoes, chopped onions, and you throw in some, if you like peppers, add peppers, some olives, and add feta cheese, sheep's milk feta. And it's wonderful, and you don't have that lettuce texture, but you're getting lots of vegetables.
It's flavors. You got to add the flavors. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Those pickled peppers are good in that, too.
Oh, yeah.
That really gives it a nice kick.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. It's funny, Richard's throwing me off, because honestly, I think you sound, if you've listened to the show, you sound so much like Ray Lloyd to me.
I do. Is my voice that deep?
The connection carries it very well, no. But, it's very cool. Yeah, with the salads, I didn't realize sort of an awakening in salad until one of my first couple DDP radio roundtables, YRG Radio, when Alice put up his DDP salad video, which is on Team YRG. And he's like, you don't have to have a salad that's just lettuce. And he is just throwing thing after thing after thing in there. And now I make mine, and you talked about not actually putting lettuce in it, but I'll get mixed baby greens, all organic stuff for the most part is what I get now. I get spinach, and I chop it up, and I put it in there. I'll take some onion. I grab everything in the fridge, pantry, pepperoncinis, roasted peppers, carrots. You know, I'll do hot and sweet. So I'll take some grapes, I'll slice up some grapes, and then I'll throw, you know, some hot pepper rings in with it, because that play on hot and sweet's really good too. So
yeah,
I think it's really important for people to know that if you're finding a challenge with it, start throwing flavors into it. You're gonna find a new love with salad, I think.
Okay. Hey guys, I'm gonna put you on hold 1 second. I gotta say goodnight to the owner.
Okay.
Okay. I'll be right back.
Oh, wow, man. Actually, we've had a lot of talking going on. I didn't realize it, but we're like at 10 minutes till 10 here, folks, and having another great show. So thanks, everybody, for listening. So we got any questions coming up in the chat room, or anybody calling in 347-994-1216? So we've got Katie Spiffler just jumped in. Hey, Katie, what's going on? Just giving you a shout-out. From the phone. So,
hey, Katie.
We're talking.
Oh, you know, I want to say something else about vegetables because I'm not a natural vegetable lover, so you've probably seen some of my tricks on the recipe site, and I do a lot of purees, which to me, it's like I'm not eating vegetables. I have to trick my palate. I do a lot of cream, like, quote, cream soup, which are not real, they don't have any dairy in them, but they're smooth and they're velvety and they go down great. And it's just, it's a, for me, it's a pleasant way to get them in. I still have to force myself sometimes. I don't want to tell you how many servings a day I actually eat, but it's below what they tell you to eat, you know, but I do what I can, and I've gotten a lot better, but purees and soups are a great way if you're really not crazy about vegetables.
I can love me some vegetable soup, actually. My favorite, all-time favorite soup, and this is one of the only ways that I'll eat beans. And my mom tried to shove beans in me when I was a little kid, baked beans, and they didn't sit well with me. And, of course, they didn't stay in me. But for some reason, I found a love with black bean soup. I will go buy a couple of cans of organic black beans and put those in with some tomatoes, jalapeno peppers, onions, some cumin, some curry, you know, salt, peppers, let it simmer. Oh, man, it's to me, it's a really fantastic dish to have and eat. So, yeah, soups, I totally agree with you there, man. Those are some really, really good ways to get other things into your body if you don't want to eat a salad. Not that you're going to eat a bean salad, but I'm sure there's probably bean salads.
Oh, there are. Chickpea salad, that's a Middle Eastern thing. Yeah, there's so many ways you can get more fiber and more vegetables. And I think I'm going to do a few new recipes. You guys are inspiring me.
That's cool. right, Don, man. Actually, Don Stanley saying he likes the black bean, the sound of the black bean soup. It is somewhere on Team YRG. I put the recipe up there, oh, God, probably 6 or 7 months ago. So if you do a search for it in the forums of the blogs.
And you know, speaking about lentils and beans, if you mix it with rice or gluten-free bread or something, it becomes a complete protein. So you can actually have like a full meal. You don't have to do meat unless you want to. But that's another clean way to give your body protein. Not that, you know, I'm saying that people should go vegetarian or vegan, but it's nice to sometimes just do, you know, different options and not, you know, not be constantly pumping it with meat. I think sometimes our digestion needs breaks from what we give it so regularly. So that's a good way to do that.
Absolutely. So we've had a lot of awesome talk on a lot of food, and it's really really pumped the show up. So if people, as we move to close it up here, Stacy, if people want to know a little bit more, they can go to Team YRG, but we also got StacyMorris.com, right?
Yes, that'll take you to my blog. And that website, that beautiful, gorgeous website, was designed by Kelly Ann Perry, Team YRG member, who is
an amazing
super,
job.
I know, she is so talented. And I've had many, many incarnations of that, StacyMorris.com. This is by far, you know, just, it took my breath away when I first saw it. So thank you again, Kelly. And so that'll take you to my blog. It'll tell you a little bit about Lotus Love. I started consulting and cooking for people who want to get healthier. I'm a home chef now for a couple and teaching them new habits. But my version of acquiring new habits, which was how I did it, I just had to do it slowly and gradually so it felt natural. You know, I'm not the drill sergeant type, because I know that, you know, one really has to be at a point of readiness. And sometimes that's a process, and it's ongoing. So I just want to show them that eating healthy and clean can actually taste good. There's no suffering involved. They're not 100% gluten or dairy free, and they don't want to be, but they're willing to try some of the options, and they notice differences. They notice they feel better, and they also notice that they're starting to prefer home cooked food, because versus they used to always either be eating in restaurants or ordering takeout, and they just didn't feel good. You know, that's a lot of chemical additives, and it's just a lot of extra fat. And you know, restaurant food, for the most part, unless you're really careful and conscientious, it's pretty lethal. It's not really your friend, you know.
I think eating clean becomes, I think it actually becomes an addiction once you start to feel what it does to you, because it really flips the light switch and turns a lot of people on.
Yeah, it's just a matter of creating. I look at it as a whirlpool. You know, like I was in my former life, My whirlpool, my vortex was going in one direction towards destruction. And I slowly, you know, I didn't reverse the vortex overnight. It took time. But now that it's going in that other direction, my body knows the difference, and it wants to keep on, and it wants the good stuff. It wants the almond milk. You know, it doesn't want cottage cheese anymore. It doesn't want Italian bread. And when I do, sometimes, you know, if I eat too much cheese, it's like, it literally tells me, what the F are you doing, you know? And then on my last trip to New York City, I was doing, you know, I did New England clam chowder, I did some cheese, and I was doing lots of lattes, because there are all these great coffee bars. And one day, like 2 days into this, my whole lower half started cramping up, like my abdominal region and my back, and it was the dairy, you know. And this is, I used to eat like this all the time, and my body just got used to it. And now that it's not used to it, it's like, you know what, I thought we had an agreement here, you know. What are you doing? Knock it off.
I'm a firm believer as far as the inflammatory properties of gluten and dairy, that getting off them is a good thing you could do. I used to have psoriasis really bad, and I think it's more linked to the dairy than the gluten. I am 100% dairy-free and not putting that in my body. My skin is a lot better. My digestion feels a lot better, and things actually go better for you if you do it. There's not only the weight loss here, folks, but there's also health benefits to it, too. But I actually wanted to thank everybody. We're on the last part of our three-part series that we were doing, Holding Back the Hands of Time, the Art of YRG, and I think everybody listening has helped made it a success. We've had three wonderful people in Doug Steffen, Henry Dembski, and Stacy, who is always with us, help us with these shows, and hopefully gave people who were listening a little bit more of what they needed to know about what it means to start a lifestyle change and really own your life. We fit every aspect of it, and we're going to continue to here on Team YRG. So, Richard or Robert, you guys got anything else to add before we jump off here?
No, I'm good. Have a wonderful night.
Okay,
Richard, thanks for calling in, Richard. It's great to hear from you.
Thanks so much. Hey, y'all have a good night.
All right,
great to finally talk to you, man. I'm glad you're here.
Thanks.
So, hey, no problem. And Dawn, Katie, everybody who's here, Katie, recent new member. Dawn, thanks for coming back. So with that, Stacy, anything else?
No, I just want to reiterate that this can be done with a lot of enjoyment, you know, and don't expect perfection, especially if you're starting out. You know, you're probably in withdrawal phase, and that's just going to take a little time, but you can get over the hump. Find things that you really like to eat, and your body's going to start to thank you. And you can find things that taste good and will help you along and heal you. There are so many great ideas. Go to Team YRG and check out the recipes. There are a lot of good ones there.
Absolutely. And hitting Team YRG is a good thing to do. I'll challenge everybody listening. Grab a friend, grab somebody, hit it this week. With that, as always, it's been real and it's been fun. It's great talking to everybody out there. I'm glad you're listening and supporting us. We'll talk to you next week. Until then, screw the 10%. Live life at 90%. This is Sparky. I'm out.